In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is always important when you are reading the lections for the day that you read them together as a whole, because they depend on one another. And it's very true today. In fact, I noticed the dean put a little note about the epistle, Paul's epistle to the Christians in Rome, saying that this was the locus classicus, which is the classical argument that goes on within each one of us. So when you read Romans again, and I hope you will, think about that, the argument that goes on within each one of us. I want to do the good, but there's something that holds me back, or there's something that draws me in another direction. The intellect, the mind, and the heart, or the spirit. So read it and listen to the gospel, because the gospel is really about that very conflict. So, I was going to talk about that, but it got too theological. I'd rather tell stories. When I was a young boy, growing up in Northern Ontario, we would often play those games of imagination. And they always involved opposites, good guys and bad guys, cops and robbers. And yes, I'm sorry to say, cowboys and Indians. We played those games. I generally chose to be an Indian, because at the beginning of the game, we would go into the forest, which was always close by in Northern Ontario, and we make a bow and a couple of arrows out of small willow branches, and strung the bow with some yarn or kitchen string that our mothers had given us. And we had small pocket knives. We had them because they were a mark of passage for a young boy. And we loved to prove our carving skills by whittling and making things like whistles out of the same willow branches and bows and arrows. Of course, you couldn't do that now. It's too dangerous. However, young boys and girls still play games of imagination, and they still involve opposites. I'm not an expert in this, but I see my grandchildren playing the games, and when I look closely, I see that they're about the same thing, and sometimes even have other players somewhere out there that are going along with that game. So the same imaginative action goes on. It's we and they, good and bad, true and false. And they played these games in Jesus' day too. And it told us that in the gospel. They were in the marketplace and they were playing a joyful flute as at a wedding. And then a sad dirge as at a funeral. And they shouted to people, "Watch, look at me." As grandparents, we still hear that. "Watch, watch, watch, Grandpa, watch, look at me." And you're a dutiful grandfather, you listen. But in the marketplace, no one danced, no one mourned. Everyone went about their own business. Maybe one or two people stopped and smiled and patted him on the head. But no one cared. No one listened to the message. And it was the same when I was young. No one paid much attention to us, except maybe a grouchy neighbor or two. No one cared. No one listened, except one or two adults that patted you on the head. And yet, the games of the children simply reflected the world of adults around them. Sometimes exaggerated, sometimes painfully accurate. Everyone just went about their business. The children in Jesus' day and now are the prophets. If you think about when you were young and you played these imaginary games, I can probably relate to most of you because we watched the same movies on Saturday afternoon, didn't we? Tom Mix, Roy Rogers, Gene Autry. And there's always a good guy, always a bad guy. Roy or Gene would go into the bar and the bad guy would be there. Black hat, black shirt. And he ordered a red eye whiskey. Not Gene or Roy. Gave me a sarsaparilla, barkeep. And of course, they wore white. And the last scene was always like this. The bad guy is riding out of town, and the good guy is coming after them on the horse, catches up to him, and yes, leaps off his horse, pulls the guy down. They get up, and Roy gives him one good punch, and that's all it takes. And the guy's out. And Roy gets up, hat still on, no dirt on his shirt, and the bad guy's a mess. So we reflected what we saw, but we saw other things too, other things that weren't so nice. And sometimes we played these games and brought them in, and it still goes on. You know it goes on still. Jesus said, John the Baptist came not eating and drinking, and you called him a demon. I came eating and drinking, and you call me a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The problem was they did not listen to either John or Jesus. John's lifestyle was too austere, and Jesus had the reputation of eating and drinking with sinners. So the people evaded the call of both. Then Jesus said something extraordinary. He said that wisdom, the message, the truth that has been there from the beginning of time, has been hidden from the wise and the learned and revealed to little children. The learned in the law have failed to understand the basics of justice, mercy, and love, and reject Jesus. And the religious leaders, complicit with Rome, of course, lay heavy burdens on the common people. It's not the law, as Paul points out in Romans, it's not the law, but the interpretation of the law that crushes them physically and spiritually. But the leaders give no help, no hope, no easing of the yoke. The infants, not regarded as wise or even important, who are they? The poor in spirit, the persecuted, the merciful, the sick, the lame, the tax collectors and sinners, those whom Jesus calls blessed, who come to him for healing, for spiritual food, to have the yoke lifted from their shoulders. The action of God confounds human wisdom, because the action of God is sometimes opposite the economy that we espouse. These infants see what the so-called wise cannot, but no one is listening to them. No one is their champion except Christ. There is a first century legend that the apocalyptic revelation written by John, called the Divine, was lost during the persecutions of Diocletian and had to be handed down by word of mouth. And in one version of this legend, there is a fifth horseman, a fifth horseman of the apocalypse who was the lead horseman. You know, the white horse is conquest or the Antichrist, and the red horse represents war, and the black horse famine, and the pale horse death, and also war and plague and disease. The fifth horseman riding with them became sick of the deeds of his colleagues, was nauseated by them. And so he raced ahead, warning every village and city, and no one listened. The leaders called him a demon. They debated his sincerity. They questioned his sanity. But he pressed on until he had covered every corner of the world. And then he turned and revisited those places he had warned. But there was nothing left. His words had made no difference. The leaders had refused to act on the truth they had been told. And what was his name, this legendary fifth horseman? Well, according to the legend, his name was Reality. The words of Christ are reality. And he rejects a social order of exclusion, oppression, injustice, violence. And the wisest are really the infants who hear and understand the most basic of human needs. And so he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.